and your dumb quest. Reuben sighed. Once more, I mean to save you, and yet you come to my rescue. If you hadn't warned me about Athene, I would have done just what Solariel expected. She looked down so he wouldn't see her cheeks go pink with pleasure. She stuck her fingers into the pockets of her coat and was surprised to feel a circle of cold metal. I made you something, Kay said, pulling out the bracelet of green braid wrapped in silver wire.
This is your hair? He asked.
It's a token, Kay said. Like from a lady to a knight, for when I'm not around. I was going to give it to you before, but I never quite got around to it. He ran his fingers over it and looked at Kay, astonished.
And you made it? For me?
She nodded, and he held out his hand so she could clasp it on him. His skin felt hot to the brush of her fingers. Across the water, along the shore, fireworks went off. Streaks of fire ballooned into carnations of light. Golden explosions rained around them. She looked over at him, but he was still looking at his wrist.
You said it was for when you're not around. Will you not be around?
He asked her when he looked up. She thought about the owl-eyed fairy in Solariel's court and what he'd told her. They say that nameless things change constantly, that names fix them in place like pins. Kay didn't want to be fixed in place. She didn't want to pretend to be mortal when she wasn't, nor did she want to have to leave the mortal world. She didn't want to belong to one place or be one kind of thing. How will you rule both courts? She asked instead of answering his question. Reuben shook his head.
I'll try to keep one foot on each side, balance on the knife edge between both courts for as long as I can. There will be peace so long as I can hold them. Provided I don't declare war on myself, that is.
Is that likely?
I must confess to a good deal of self-loathing, he smiled.
I was thinking of opening a coffee shop, Kay said quickly. In Ironside, maybe help people with fairy problems, like Louise does. Maybe even help fairies with fairy problems.
You know I just made a very advantageous bargain predicated on the fact that no fairy wants to live in the city.
He sighed and shook his head as if he'd just realized that arguing with her was useless.
What will you call your coffee shop?
Moon in a cup, she said. Maybe. I'm not sure. I was thinking that maybe I could move out of my grandmother's, spend half my time working in the shop and half my time in fairy with you. I mean, if you don't mind me being around. He smiled at that, and it seemed like a real smile, with no shadows at the edges.
Like Persephone?
What? Kay leaned in and skimmed her hand under his coat, tracing the vertebrae of his back. His breath hitched. Reuben let his hand fall lightly, hesitantly, across the wings of her shoulders. He sighed like he'd been holding his breath.
It's a Greek story. A human one. The king of the underworld, Hades, fell in love with a girl, Persephone. She was a goddess, too, the daughter of Demeter, who controlled the seasons and the harvests. Hades stole Persephone away to his palace in the underworld and tempted her with a split-open pomegranate, each seed shining like a ruby. She knew that if she ate or drank anything in that place, she would be trapped. But somehow he persuaded her to eat a mere 6 seeds. Thereafter, she was doomed to spend half of each year in the underworld, 1 month for each seed.
Like you're doomed to spend half your time dealing with the Bright Court and half with the Night Court? Kay asked. Reuben laughed.
Very like.
Kay looked at the far shore, where fireworks still heralded the new year above the jagged teeth of buildings, and then toward where Corny and the others blew noisemakers and drank cheap champagne from plastic goblets. She slid out of Reuben's arms and whirled on the sand of the beach. The wind blew off the water, numbing her face. Kay laughed and spun faster, gulping the cold, briny air and smelling the faint firework smoke. Pebbles crunched under her boots.
You still haven't told me, he said softly. She stretched her arms out over her head, then came to an abrupt halt in front of him.
Told you what?
He grinned. How you managed to complete the quest. How you claimed to be able to lie.
Oh, it's simple.
Kay lay down on her back on the snowy beach, looking up at him. This is me, she said, her voice full of mischief as she reached out with one long-fingered hand. See? This is me, lying. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Ironside, a Modern Fairy Tale, by Holly Black. Copyright 2007 by Holly Black. Performed by Kate Rudd. Directed by Sandra Burr. Engineered by Brian Packard. Performance copyright 2011 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number. 1-800-222-3225 or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.